How do you do? Have you ever followed a path that led to a precipice with a steep drop-off? Trying something new can be like that, especially if family and friends disapprove. The man in this story came to a point where his exploration of new beliefs forced him to choose between the old and the new, until he realized they were one, and his heart and mind and life were unshackled.
We don't want a Jew living on our street, so change your address.
Get away from me.
Stop it. Someone else get him.
Shining the light of the world into the darkness, this is Unshackled, dramatized and produced in Chicago by Pacific Garden Mission. We all go through tough times when we have no strength to face the future. But the homeless must summon the strength each day to go out and find food and a place to sleep. That's why Pacific Garden Mission keeps the doors open day and night, ready to welcome those who have no address. Thanks to friends who send financial gifts, the mission provides a clean, safe bunk, nourishing meals, and fresh clothing to hundreds of men, women, and children each day. Bible classes and biblical counseling help them establish the means to go back into the world better prepared. Those who receive and believe the good news that brightens the old lighthouse find new life. Now for broadcast around the earth, here is program number 3211 in the series Unshackled, the program that makes you face yourself and think.
Those boys harass you again.
Every day, Mother. It never ends.
They're ignorant bullies. Go wash off the blood.
I'll be glad to start junior high next year. Maybe a different school won't be as bad.
It's always worse this time of year, during Passover.
What's wrong with them anyway?
I don't know. I once went to a church and they told me Jews have their own place to go. I wasn't welcome.
Our religion obviously is better than theirs, Mother. I could never believe as they do.
The young man in our story grew up in Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. He experienced the irony of that definition, yet found the real meaning, as we'll hear in this, the true testimony of Gary Cohen, right now on Unshackled.
We were the only Jewish family in our neighborhood in Philadelphia where my father owned a grocery store. He had emigrated from Russia to America when he was 8. We went to the synagogue on the high holidays, and my father tried to keep kosher. At the time, there was a rising tide of anti-Semitism, even in America.
Somebody scrawled Jew on the side of the house today.
I didn't see it when I came home.
I cleaned it off.
Hoodlums.
The same ones go to church every week.
That doesn't make them any better.
They're just like the Hitler Youth.
It's an evil spirit.
It's hatred of anybody that's different.
But God commanded us to be different.
Look where it gets us. All those concentration camps they uncovered in Germany when the war ended.
Let's not discuss this at dinner time, Abe.
Why do they treat us so poorly, Dad?
Because we're not like them. In Russia, we were cannon fodder. So, Mother brought me and my brothers here to America.
I remember when I was little and we went to visit Grandma, and somebody tossed a brick through her window.
It doesn't matter where we go.
Just remember, vengeance belongs to God. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord.
But there is against his people.
Mother's family of 13 siblings also came from Russia. So we had many happy times together during family gatherings and holidays. From age 7 to 12, I went to Jewish summer camp every year for 8 weeks. It was wonderful. When I went to Hebrew school to prepare for my bar mitzvah, I was introduced to the local scout troop that met at a nearby synagogue.
So being a scout is good, Gary?
I love it, Mother. We get to go camping and do fun things that earn merit badges.
Already you made friends with nice Jewish boys. I'm glad.
Me too.
Your father thinks you're getting old enough to help him at the store. Maybe you start by stocking the shelves?
Sure. That'd be fun, too.
Just remember your schoolwork. First comes education.
I finished junior high where there was no anti-Semitism and started high school at Central High of Philadelphia, which was heavily Jewish and the only high school in America that graduates students with a bachelor's degree. I was student government representative for 7 out of 8 semesters, all but the first one. I began lifting weights and working out in a gym, and I won a small bodybuilding trophy. I also continued to advance in scouting. My senior year came.
Hey, Cohen, you're the senior patrol leader. Do you have the route all planned for the hike this weekend?
Sure do.
Aren't you the exemplary one, though?
I try.
I want to know, buddy, how did you win the sit-up contest at school? 500 sit-ups? You must have abs of steel.
I work hard at my dad's store, and I had to fight for my life on the streets when I was younger.
Didn't we all? The Hittites are ever with us.
Who?
Don't you know your Bible, Mr. Achievement? You should join our synagogue. We have classes in Judaism. Then you'd know what I'm talking about.
Embarrassed because I didn't know our history, I went out and bought a Hebrew Bible. But I didn't realize that it consisted of both Old and New Testaments. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. On whom? Laid on whom? Six months later, I finished reading the Old Testament and kept reading the New Testament because I had no reservations about it. What a shock to read about Jesus. I had grown up thinking of him through a prison of misperception. As I read the Gospels, I saw that he was a wonderful person, a wise and powerful man of God, a true prophet of Israel. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. This was 1952, and I was a senior in high school. As I listened to radio, I discovered Christian programs that spoke to my growing interest in Jesus.
What on earth are you listening to, Gary?
No, it was just a drama.
I thought I heard that awful name, Jesus.
Yes, I got engrossed in the story and kept listening. His name was mentioned.
Stuff like that you should not listen to, son. For us, it is bad.
I'm just curious, Dad. Why shouldn't I know about Jesus and Christians?
So much harm they've done to us.
Surely they're not all bad.
I do not trust them, any of them. Look what Germany did. And they were Christian.
The Nazis were not Christian, Dad. And this is not Germany or Russia. This is America.
You have not lived long enough to see real persecution. Jews can trust no one except God.
I finished reading the New Testament and was sure that Jesus was indeed the Messiah, but I didn't know what to do next. I also graduated with the 198th class at Central High School in Philadelphia. Hello?
Hey, Gary. I didn't get a chance to talk to you at the ceremony. What's your plan for the summer?
I'm leaving Monday to go camping with the Scouts.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cool.
Are you staying in Scouts?
Nah, no time. What about you?
Well, I guess I'll drop out, too.
You're close to making Ego Scout, aren't you?
Couple of merit badges. But it won't be the same if you guys aren't there.
Yeah, things change. What about college?
I'm starting at Temple University in the fall.
Not me. I want to get away from Philadelphia.
It's home to me.
So what else is new?
Well, I've been reading the New Testament in the Bible.
What for?
Curiosity. And I'm beginning to think that Jesus is the Messiah.
You're kidding, right?
He's not at all what I've heard and what I've thought. I'm not Meshumad. I'm just looking for truth. Meshumad, apostate from Judaism. I started college still pondering what I now believed about Jesus. Every day as I took the subway to class, I scanned the ground, searching for tracts on the ground that told about Jesus and our need to repent of our sins and come to him for salvation. I had to know. One day, I decided to settle once and for all the Jesus question. I walked into a church near the campus, and a secretary greeted me.
Hello. How can I help you?
I'm Gary Cohn. I'm just wondering. I want to know more about Jesus.
Well, that's why we're here, to exalt the person of Christ.
I've read the entire Bible, including the New Testament, but I'm a Jew. I don't know what to do next. Most of the leaders in the New Testament were Jews, and now it's so different. I'm at a crossroads.
That's the age-old question that everyone has to decide, Gary. What to do with Jesus? His crucifixion, resurrection, and the more than 500 eyewitnesses that saw him after he rose can't be ignored.
He did so many miracles. When I read that he rose from the dead, it was the most amazing one of all.
He was crucified in our place. That was the whole purpose of his coming to earth, to die for our sin. If he had come down, we'd still be trapped by our sins with no way to have eternal life or God as our Father. That was God's plan from the time of Adam's sin, to send his only son to pay the penalty for our sins so we could be acceptable to him. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So what do I do now?
Do you believe Jesus died for you?
Yes, I know that he did.
Pray to God. Admit to him that you're a sinner. Repent of your sins and ask God to save you because you believe Christ died for your sins.
That's it? That makes me a Christian?
That's it. Only Christ. Only the cross.
Are there some special words?
No, Gary. God sees your heart, your motives. He knows you. But after salvation, you must tell others. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10 that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
What would Gary do at the precipice of decision? We'll hear in just a moment. How is it possible, many wonder, to provide support for so many people? Come visit and see for yourself why Pacific Garden Mission is called the Old Lighthouse. We'll give you a tour of the facilities, from the men's and women's dormitories to the dining hall and chapel in the atrium, from the kitchen to the medical and dental clinic. You'll see how we minister to the whole person, from clothing and healing the physical to clothing and healing the spiritual. Our visitors come from all over the country, students on spring break, longtime friends now retired. They come from halfway around the world and as close as Wisconsin. And they leave behind comments that warm our hearts like these. I had to miss a day's pay to visit, but it was worth it. Many say, I've been listening to Unshackled since I was a child. Come on Saturday, and you can join the audience in our auditorium for an Unshackled production, a unique opportunity. Stay for supper in our dining room, sharing a meal with our homeless guests. There is no charge for this unforgettable visit. For more information, write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Please include your address.
I always regretted my decision to drop out of Scouts when I was so close to being an Eagle Scout. But I never regretted the decision I made that day in the summer of 1953 when I prayed to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. The church secretary who explained the plan of salvation gave me the name of a Hebrew Christian congregation that I began attending. I still listen to Christian radio, which my dad soon discovered.
What's this I hear?
Just some good Bible teaching, Dad.
Heresy. Abomination. Have you lost your mind?
No, Dad. Jesus was a teacher with astonishing wisdom. He was a good rabbi.
Do not mention that name in my house.
And don't you listen to programs about him either.
Gary, you need help. What's come over you?
I don't need help, Mother. My grades are good and I feel so happy inside. I'm fine.
Fine, you are not. And I am not happy. You will go see the psychologist at the university. You hear?
Yes. My sister tells me that this counselor is a good Jew. He will help you.
This was my first semester at college, and my father took me to see the university psychologist. He diagnosed my case and was very kind. He said, if it makes you feel better, your newfound faith is good, and told my father I was okay. That was not what my parents wanted to hear.
That psychologist cannot be a good Jew.
He's crazy.
How can a psychologist be crazy?
Not him, you.
What did we do wrong?
Nothing. My son has lost his mind.
But, Dad, for Passover, we're supposed to offer a he-lamb without blemish of the first year for a burnt offering unto the Lord. And Judaism still has a day of atonement, Yom Kippur, to make an atonement for your souls. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. He's our atonement.
Don't you talk to me about religion.
Listen, I have an answer. My sister Isabel knows this big rabbi, and he's agreed to talk with Gary.
Where is this big rabbi?
At a synagogue up north, almost an hour's drive away.
I'll go if it makes you happy, Mother.
He agreed to see you on Tuesday after your classes. Isabel will take us.
The trip took an hour, and I prayed for strength to face the trial that lay ahead. In all the way, my aunt kept telling my mother how this encounter would bring me back to Judaism.
I'm telling you, Mary, don't worry. You didn't do anything wrong. Kids go astray. But this rabbi is smart, very educated. He'll straighten Gary out. Wait till you see the size of the synagogue. It's enormous. A very wealthy congregation. This is a real rabbi. He'll make Gary a Jew again.
I'm still a Jew, Aunt Isabel, like Jesus.
Jews don't believe in him. You're very lucky this rabbi made time for you.
If you would read the New Testament, you'd know that Jesus fulfilled the word of the prophet Isaiah that says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound."
You don't know what you're talking about. This rabbi will straighten you out.
The rabbi left my mother and my aunt seated outside his office and took me inside to talk. His office was very ornate, and he was very kind.
So, tell me what's going on with you, Gary.
My family is distressed because I've read the scriptures and believe that Jesus is our Jewish Messiah.
What brought you to this conclusion?
Reading God's Word in our own Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. Then I also read the New Testament.
You don't find his name in our scriptures.
He has many names, including Savior, which I see in the Old Testament. May I show you something in the prophet Isaiah?
Please do.
Chapter 53 describes the suffering servant, Jesus.
We believe that refers to God's chosen people, the Jews, who suffered much persecution.
Perhaps both are true. But verse 3 and 4 are specifically appropriate to Jesus. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted.
Is this not true of Israel and the Jews? We have been persecuted for centuries.
Yes, but that whole chapter describes the suffering of Jesus, oppressed, afflicted, brought as a lamb to the slaughter. And verse 8 cannot refer to us because we are the object of the sentence. For the transgression of my people was he stricken. The subject of that sentence is singular, not plural, referring to a person.
You have done your homework, young man.
Rabbi, all these prophecies and many others point to Jesus as the Messiah of Israel. Only the Most High God could fulfill all these in one man. Look at verse 9. He made his grave with the wicked and with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. that cannot refer to our people because we have all sinned. Who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? This whole chapter astonishes me in its clarity. I don't see how anyone can read these verses and not see Jesus on the cross. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed. He shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand.
It was nice talking with you, Gary.
Thank you for your time, Rabbi.
I hope you talk some sense into him.
We don't see that many young men who are interested in God or religion. It's nice that he is. I'd leave him alone.
I can't believe this. You are no rabbi.
Throughout the drive home, Aunt Isabel kept saying, "He's no rabbi." My parents were tight-lipped and disappointed that I wasn't dissuaded from my beliefs. But we coexisted while I was in college, as long as I didn't discuss religion. While working on my college degree at Temple University, I began taking evening classes at a Bible college in Philadelphia. Several years passed, and I graduated from college.
How did the interview go for that job teaching chemistry?
Not very well.
What happened?
The dean asked me where I had traveled, and I said, nowhere.
You've been to New York and Atlantic City?
I told him that I've lived my whole life in Philadelphia with those two exceptions, and he was shocked. He said, "Young man, how are you going to teach students? You have been nowhere. This is what they're sending us nowadays. He's been nowhere."
You're still young.
I'll go where the Lord leads me, Mother.
You could go far if you stop going to that Gentile school.
I love the classes and the people, Mother. I'm learning so much about the Lord, and Christians aren't at all what I thought growing up. They're kind, and they love everyone, including Jews.
You didn't say that when they attacked you on the streets.
Those were ignorant kids following their parents' prejudice. Real disciples of Jesus love the Jewish people. My parents' only consolation was my girlfriend, who was Jewish. I had one foot in the Christian world and one foot in the Jewish world. I was still a camp counselor during the summer, and that's how I met Gail.
It's great here at camp, isn't it?
Yes. I love being away from the city streets. But this is my last year as a counselor. I have to start working full time.
Are you going to take that teaching job in Germantown?
Yeah. At least I'll travel a bit. I'm going somewhere instead of going nowhere, being stuck in Philadelphia.
That man was not wrong. My parents feel the same way.
They think I should travel?
They think teachers don't earn much money, so they're dubious about us, Gary.
There's more to life than money, Gail.
Yes, I know, but money helps.
For the love of money is the root of all evil.
Are you quoting the Gentile Bible again?
One of the Ten Commandments is, "Thou shalt not covet."
There's nothing wrong with having ambition, wanting to get ahead in this world.
I own three suits, and I will travel wherever the Lord leads me.
I think maybe you should be a preacher. A rabbi.
I wouldn't mind that. I love God's word.
Anyway, my parents want you to come and see them. They think we're getting too serious.
How did it go with my parents?
They didn't tell you?
Not everything, but I know they don't want me to see you again.
They asked me not to call or come around.
I know. That's why I called you.
They said if we got married, you would never go anywhere. You'll never get to travel.
They don't seem to mind your religious beliefs as much as they object to your economic situation.
That ended my relationship with her. But I dated other Jewish girls. A year passed, and again I was serious with a Jewish girl. I talked to her about Jesus being the Jewish Messiah, making problems for me at home.
Your girlfriend's father came to see me, Gary.
What did he want?
He stormed in here, shouting how he would shoot you, or his wife would kill you if you came back to his house.
What?
He said you'd been trying to convert his daughter.
I wasn't trying to convert her. I just told her about my faith in Jesus Christ.
No Jew wants to hear about that.
What else did he say?
He thinks you're insane.
What did you do, Dad?
I agreed with him, and he calmed down.
I'm sorry you had to go through that.
Leave that religion. You are messing up your life.
I can't. It's who I am, Dad. Jesus died for me.
No religion.
But, Dad, Every time you are at the synagogue and walk up wearing your tallis and kiss the Torah scroll and the scrolls of Isaiah the prophet, those scrolls tell of the coming of the Messiah, who is Jesus.
Don't speak that name.
I have to speak it. God gave his only son for me.
Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord.
Jesus said the same thing, Dad. He said, I and my Father are one.
Blasphemy! You are speaking blasphemy! Stop talking to me!
That was 1957. Dad stopped talking to me, making life very difficult. Not long after that, I was baptized, and Dad called the pastor and threatened to kill him. I had just received a National Science Foundation Scholarship Summer Award, but I didn't use it because I made a decision that would radically change the course of my life.
Next week, we'll hear about that decision. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Listening friend, is that where you dwell? If not, you can be there now. Jesus said, For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Turn to him now in repentance by praying with us. Dear God, I am a sinner who believes Jesus is the Son of God. I repent of my sins. I believe he died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus rose from the dead and lives forevermore. Please save me. Come into my life and make me new. In your name I pray. Amen. Let us know you prayed, and we'll send you some helpful literature. Write to Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. The telephone number in Chicago, 312-492-9410. Our email address is unshackled@pgm.org. Visit our website to learn more about this ministry. www.unshackled.org. A listener emailed us saying, This is a very special ministry. We agree, and hope you let the manager of this station know how much you appreciate hearing Unshackled. This is program number 3211, heard in part one of the true story of Gary Cohen, where Howard Friedland, Evan Armacost, Marcy Mancotti, Fred Stone, Michael Wallner, and Pam Turlow. Original music, Don Badorf. Sound, Nadine Aloysio Sorensen. Engineer, Kim Rasmussen. Script, Kenitha Gabler. And I'm Tim Gregory. Unshackled is produced by Pacific Garden Mission to show through true stories that if your life is empty, it can be filled to overflowing. We hope you take a moment to let us know you listen. The address, Pacific Garden Mission, 1458 South Canal Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60607. You may call Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago and talk with someone who cares. 312-492-9410. Someone is waiting for your call. 312-492-9410.